Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Big show we've had, and we've still got time. It's time for your questions, our answers to the top of the hour. If you've got a question, send it on over to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk with us, give us a call, 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Toll-free, coast-to-coast. If we can't get you on the show, leave a message, and we will call you back with the answer to your question, 1-800-927-SHOW, brought to you by Proclamation Goods.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stockpot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stockpot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with the versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supply is limited, so order yours now at proclamationgoods.com.
All right. Had a bunch of questions come in this week. Thank you very much for those. And we're going to see what we can get through here. The first question here is sponsored by Fleet Farm and fleetfarm.com, Holly. Places near me are starting to put their seeds on sale. Will the seeds be good for next year's season of planting?
Yes, seeds can be good for several years after they are bought, and this is by the sell-by date. If kept in a cool, dry place based on the variety of seed you have, maybe 3 to 5 years, 7 years, a rule of thumb is every year the seed is not planted, it will lose 10% of its viability or chance it will germinate. Five-year-old seeds, so half would grow. Also, the size of the seed, yep. Like radish, carrot seeds are smaller as opposed to like pumpkin and sunflower seeds.
Right. Onions, leeks, you're maybe squeezing 2 years at max out of them with a dramatic decrease in viability after that. So, yeah, certainly purchase them if you can get them for a fraction of the cost. If you're you go to jungseeds.com, coupon code 10TG22, get 10% off your order as seeds go on sale across the country. All right, Holly. What type of fertilizer do you recommend? Well, we have three that we would recommend for you. Each have their own benefits. We would suggest you could use Ivy Organics 6 Macro, ivyorganics.com. Use code RADIO10, get 10% off your order. You can use Simple Grow Worm Castings. We've talked about that on the program. You can also use Johnny Appleseed Organics is another organic means of feeding your soil that feeds your plants. So there's a couple of different options. When it comes to fertilizer, and Holly, you can jump in if you want. When it comes to fertilizer, we want to really avoid, we want to avoid the chemical fertilizers because they're not.
Because your plants become addicted to them, essentially. Okay. So when you use chemical fertilizers, something that starts with the word miracle, you are feeding your plants essentially what's called plant crack.
Well, there's other companies that make similar product like that, but
right.
Yes.
But your plants become addicted to them. So they
On a regimen.
Right. Yeah. So they rely on getting that boost from the plant food, the artificial synthetic fertilizer, as opposed to if you're building your soil, then your plants have a healthier ecosystem to grow in where they're getting their nutrients naturally and organically from the soil versus a synthetic chemical.
And there's also some, you get really technical, there are negative and positive charges that the synthetic will attract to the water and the organic will repel the water. It's a whole thing, but simply put, the organic the plant will use as needed, the synthetic the plant will use it all up as quickly as possible, so there can be problems there. All right, here, Holly. Last week, near my peppers, I had white blobs, a white blob that was about 1 foot wide and 2 foot long. It appeared in my garden. I would describe it as looking like a giant white sponge, and the next day it was gone. What was this?
Sounds like that is called dog vomit slime mold. It's not toxic, but it does occur like in warmer weather, moist conditions, and it feeds on decomposing organic matter. It's also a decomposer itself. Sometimes you don't see it because if it's you will see it like in mulched areas, but sometimes you don't notice it because it just kind of pops up. If you don't walk towards the area in your yard, it disappears usually within a day or two. But it's just something that occurs naturally. It's not a bad thing. It'll go away.
Just don't touch it or take it in the house or anything like that. But yeah, totally cool. All right. Question about zucchinis. I have a lot of leaves on my plant, and should I trim them back? I have very few zucchinis. Is this good? Is this bad? If so, how do I do it?
Yeah, so you can. It's not required to do the trimming of the zucchini leaves, but you can remove 2 to 3 stalks or leaves of the stalks.
Yeah, take it down right to the base, the growth, the main growth stem or the growth. Take that stalk of the stem, cut it down. You don't want to remove too many, otherwise you kill the plant. But if you remove a couple to allow a little more sunlight in there, maybe allow some pollinators to get in there, it can stimulate the plant to produce more flowers and more zucchini. So that is a doable thing. It's not just be careful how much you trim off when it comes to that. All right, here. I have tomato plants, and I have a problem. They are tall and bushy. Someone told me to cut the top of them off, and I've never heard of this before. Can you advise on the cutting of the top of the tomatoes off? My plants are bushy, lots of flowers, and some green tomatoes are forming. I did not prune. I do prune the suckers. Anything you can help me with? Should I cut the top growth off?
I wouldn't. Tomato plants. Some tomato plants get bushy. Some get viney, but I wouldn't cut the tops
No.
off. I would just let it do its thing. You can prune the suckers, and if you don't know what a sucker is, if you look at the main stem of the branch and then you look at the offshoot, there'll be a growth between that conjunction. Yeah. So that's a sucker. You can trim those. We don't, because we just plant too many tomato plants. But you can trim those, but I wouldn't cut the top off. That might inhibit the growth of the plant.
Right. And we're looking at late July. If the plants are tall and bushy, let them be. Now, if you're going to get into that time frame wherever you're at in the country where you're about 30 days to the last or to the first average frost in your area, and you've got a lot of green tomatoes on your plant, and some of them are changing. Tomatoes, based on the size of the fruit, will take 20 to 30 days from flower to harvest. Then cut the top 8 inches of your growth tip off of your tomato plant to stress it into putting all its energy in the production of the fruits that's hanging on the plant, so you're not harvesting green tomatoes. But in the middle of the summer, don't do it. That can actually inhibit the growth, and it will potentially put that plant in a shock form that it won't produce anything else. It will just produce what's on it and be done. So let the plant grow. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine, and have fun with that. All right, one last question here. I see a lot of posts on the social media platforms where they have an image of a bug, and they are asking about what is the best thing that you could spray to kill the bugs. Is this a knee-jerk reaction? Shouldn't we look at what else is going in our garden? And I understand that there should be a balance of good and bad bugs. We shouldn't assume that one bug means 1,000 and sprayed, or am I wrong on that?
Yeah, so you do want to look at the bugs. Sometimes you might – it's just like – when little kids see bees and they think that the bees are going to sting them.
Or a spider in the house.
Or a spider in the house, uh-huh. Yeah. Or our cat sees a spider and wants to get it. And I will relocate spiders a lot of times outside because they look like they would be healthier outside than in my home. You look at your garden, you might see a strange bug on a leaf of a plant one day. And until you start seeing a few more, I wouldn't necessarily be concerned. Also, a knee-jerk reaction, yes. You should not, become the local exterminator of your garden just because you see a bug that seems unwelcome. You want to do some research. You want to look into it, whether it be contacting us, your local university extension, a trusted friend who might know about the insect, something like that, you want to just, you know, give it a chance and see what it could be.
Now, if you walk out and let's pick, you got four zucchini plants. You walk out and you look under your zucchini plants and every leaf has got thousands and thousands of pick a bug. Then we're looking at, okay, what do I need to do in order? Is the plant salvageable, first of all? Should we just rip them up, as disappointing and depressing as that is, and just toss them out in the street or the burn pile because they're infested with bugs beyond understanding? Or is there something in which we can choose organically to get back in check the ecosystem in your garden? So those are things in which you don't want a knee-jerk reaction just because you saw one bug. However, if you see bunches and hundreds and thousands of bugs infestation a certain variety of plant, then the thought comes to, what do I need to do in order to get rid of those and get everything back into check, because something's out of balance here.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.